Welcome back. You're here with David Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we've got a terrific returning guest. There's lots of questions about, obviously, what's happening in the market, as we've discussed. But when you have sort of a platform that allows you to go long, short, commodities, stocks, bonds, all of these different things, what do you do? How do you position?
Yeah.
Right? Where are the opportunities? Where are the risks?
Yeah.
And Andrew McCreath's going to help us understand that. Andrew's been a recurring guest of ours. He's a CEO and CIO of Forge First Asset Management. We want to welcome you back to the show, Andrew.
It's a pleasure to be here again, gentlemen.
All right. Well, why don't we just give you a bit of a moment to frame up the argument for us. So a little bit about your thoughts on you know, this year to date, and then we can talk a little bit about how we want to position going forward.
Well, I guess I'll just use a four-letter word to talk about the year to date in markets. Ugly. E-U-G-L-Y. You thought it was going to be something different, didn't you? Anyway, all joking aside, let's face it, it's been ugly for bond investors, equity investors, and of course now the housing market is starting to get challenged, although long and strong in Alberta, and I think the Albertan real estate market is actually going to be an outlier. But we're not here to chat about real estate, we're here to chat about financial markets. And, you know, Faisal and David, 4 or 5 months ago, the media and investors seemed to be focused on the word stagflation. I believe over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that the markets are finally discounting the reality that we are actually going to experience stagflation. In other words, lousy economic growth and sticky inflation. And so consequently, that come to realization moment is causing stocks to be really choppy. And I believe that obviously there's going to be, you know, there's going to be rallies up and down. But directionally, I think the markets have entered the next phase of what is a bear market.
Let's talk about that setup. You and your team have done a very good job through the choppiness that you've referred to this year, and in part because you have some tools that are available to you that not all managers have to them. So I'd like you, if you can, Andrew, in as plain of English as you can, is explain maybe a little bit about what you and your team see and how you're positioning, not just to protect. You've done a good job of that, protecting capital this year, but also where you think the opportunities are going to lie.
Sounds good. So we run what is called a hedge fund, meaning that we go long and short securities, be it stocks or sometimes bonds. If an investor buys $1,000 of one of our funds at Forge First Asset Management, website forgefirst.com, we might go out and buy $700 worth of stock, and we might go and short $500 worth of stock. So you get into what's referred to as gross and net exposure. The investor puts $1,000 into a fund. We go out and buy or go long $700, but we short, in other words, we borrow securities from somebody who we pay a little fee to borrow those securities, and then we go sell those securities. We go short, and as I said, $500. So our gross exposure is what we're long plus what we're short. In this example, the investor has invested $1,000, and we're long $700, we're short $500, so our gross exposure is $1,200. $1,200 divided by the $1,000 that the client invested is 120%. So you guys phone me up and say, hey, Andrew, what's your gross? It's 120%. Our net exposure is that same $700 long minus the $500 we're short, $700 minus $500 equals $200, divided by the $1,000 that the client invested, that's 20%. So we're 120 gross long, excuse me, we're 120% gross, and we're 20% net long. Okay? So that's what we do. We go long and short publicly traded companies in North America in businesses that we understand. Large cap stocks. We're buy and hold, free cash flow focused, value-oourented investors. Tourmaline, CNQ, Microsoft, Google. You get the shtick. Okay? Now, as we sit here today, we're short financials. We're short consumer stocks. were modestly net long technology stocks. However, we are long Microsoft and Google and Visa, the card company, but we are short what I refer to as gap stocks. Long GARP, growth at reasonable price, Google, Microsoft, Visa. Short GAP, growth at any price, Cathie Woods being the poster child, because we believe that inflation is going to be stickier. Ultimately, interest rates are going to grind a little higher over the medium term. By medium term, I don't mean 2 months. I'm talking about the next, 12, 18 months. And there's a strong negative correlation with the expensive stocks underperforming other stocks when interest rates go higher. So that's what we're doing in the tech space. We continue to be very constructive on energy. Yes, it's been very painful the last 2.5 months. But as folks in Calgary well know, the structural outlook for supply versus demand looks good. And it's being that structural supply demand is being the impact of it is being accentuated by the world's mania or almost maniacal attitude to try and move to alternative energy. And that's just further going to goose commodity prices higher. So we like energy a lot.
Andrew, I want to ask this question because the average investor, the average individual investor out there has a couple of things at their disposal right now with what's going on in the markets. They can participate and ride through this volatility, or they can sit on the sidelines and just wait till they have some sort of signal that tells them to get back in. Now, the jury is still out of what a lot of investors are doing. They're still debating about this stuff in their heads or with their advisors. When you look at how you're invested, there is opportunity, but how long do you think this volatility is going to last before we start seeing that next run-up in the markets? Because we do know that almost 80% of the times, the S&P 500 is a positive rate of return. 20% of the time, it's not. So when does the average investor have to hang in there for until they start to see things turning positive for them?
I think it's going to be a while. If you look at the really big picture, think back 42 years ago, 1980, when inflation and interest rates were 20%. And the marginal tax rate in the United States was 75 to 80%. And of course, the boomers were just getting married. And then over the next 40 years, we've seen, the boomers have lots of kids. We've seen technological revolution. We've seen China begin to enter the global economy, but now it's a mature economy and it's starting to go the other way. As our tax rates, as our interest rates, as is the supply and demand for credit. So I believe we've had, in effect, a 40-year bull market that has begun to start to reverse itself. So I think markets are going to be choppy for a while. To answer the first part of your question, I should add, because I believe inflation is going to stay sticky, growth is going to stay lousy, and as a result, PE multiples or the valuation accorded to security, whether it's a stock, a bond, or even a house, generally speaking, notwithstanding that I believe that, Alberta and Calgary specifically can be a bit of an outlier because of the energy market, I think valuations still have some room to fall as we move into the recession that I first, quote-unquote, predicted, loosely, since I'm not an economist, in my January 2022 market commentary. I write a monthly commentary that your listeners can find on my website, forgefirst.com. I think we're moving towards that recession, and so the next shoe to drop is negative earnings revisions, where companies cut their outlook for profits. That hasn't happened yet. It will happen, and on average since World War II, during a recession, earnings per share forecasts are cut by, on average, 14%. So I still think there's, more to go on the downside from that perspective. With respect to the individual investor, myself as, the head of Forge First has had the pleasure of being a client of you guys for several years now. I remember you due diligence me for 3 years before we started doing business 4 or 5 years ago. Obviously, while I might have been a tad frustrated by the length of time, I'm obviously at the same time was very respectful about how you work darn hard for your clients, making sure you're comfortable with me, asking me a lot of questions, you know, delta and beta and alpha and all that kind of stuff, following me, watching me. And you do that because, having got to know the both of you very well, you're very focused on sort of meeting the holistic needs of your individual clients. You know, you've got some really rich folks, and then you've got some average folks. You got everything, right? And those folks, those two types of folks, if we can, you know, put it into two buckets, your client base, they have different needs, different fears, different desires. And so if you're much more focused on capital preservation, you unfortunately have to absolutely accept a lower return potential because there's greater risk out there because where we are in the market cycle because of inflation and growth and interest rates and all that stuff. So if you're more focused on growth, then you can take more risk, but there absolutely is going to be more risk today because mm-hmm. of those same variables. So to summarize, notwithstanding me going on, Faisal, the short answer to the first half of your question is it's a function of the risk tolerance of your clients. You know, after the last few years when it's like, oh, I can make 10 to 12% a year, I don't have to worry about it. Not anymore. You're going to be lucky to make 5 or 6%, and therefore risk matters a heck of a lot more than it did before.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, we've got to leave it there. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we'll have you, of course, back on in the not-too-distant future. But I want to thank you for taking the time to spend with us today and I think walk through some examples of some of the tools at your disposal that I think a lot of people would be unaware of.
Thank you very much, David and Faisal. And you guys, I look forward to chatting with you again, and I look forward to seeing you in Calgary.
Yep, sounds great. Been joined by Andrew McCreath, CEO and CIO, Forge First Asset Management. Okay, my friend, we got to take all of this wealth management idea and the economy and everything else, and put it into a program that helps people live their retirement dreams.
Right, and we'll be doing that on Tuesday, September 20th, 7 p.m., live in person at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Thanks for sticking around for our show. It's another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We look forward to chatting with you next week. On behalf of Faisal and myself, we'll see you then.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.